This is ground control to Major Tom. Can you hear me, Major Tom? No? That's what happened.
Okay. Actually, let's go to Philippians chapter 3. And we want to go to verse 3, and we're going to look at the latter part of the verse. And this is what Paul tells the church. We put no confidence in human effort. Instead, we boast about what Christ Jesus has done for us. Okay? Now, most of us, again, we're looking at this transition lifestyle, this mindset. Most of us feel pretty good about ourselves. And that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. But it's important for us to at least acknowledge in the spiritual sense that we still depend on God. You know, we get to a point where we start to grow up a little bit and we start to, you know, manage some things. But again, part of what we have to recognize is that we are in an abiding relationship. You know, we're never going to be independent of God. We're never going to get to that level of spiritual maturity where we can just, you know, handle it by ourselves. And so part of what we need to recognize is the need for this constant spiritual reminder, this constant spiritual, you know, refreshment, so that we don't draw weary of what we are becoming in Christ. Or, you know, the journey is tough sometimes, and that's just how it is. And you're going to meet with, as we're talking about in noonday, you're going to meet with conflicts, and you're going to meet with these contrasts, you're going to meet with things that are troubling to us, but we really got to remember that we're dependent on God and that God is going to see us through. It does not matter. And I want to encourage you to know that it does not matter what happens. God is still God and quite capable of taking care of you. Amen. So no matter what happens, he said, we're not going to start to rely. You know, he's really encouraging the church to get better and get stronger. But he wants them to remember that it's not by human effort. It is truly the will of God concerning you. And so, thereby, we have to understand then also that, and this, I'm going to say this, and you need to pay attention to the first word I say. True Christians can never fall from God's salvation. Notice I said pay attention to the first word. True Christians can never fall from God's salvation. You can fall from your salvation. And I can tell you something. A lot of people have their version of what salvation is, but it's not God's salvation. Because there are those who tell us stuff like, well, if you go to church, if you're nice, if you help people, you know, that's their version of salvation. That's not God's salvation. No, God's salvation is quite more complex than just being nice to people. There's a whole lot of nice people ain't saved. There's a whole lot of nice, you know, there are a lot of people that do good that aren't saved. But what we have to understand is that's a trick of the devil to tell you that, well, as long as you don't bother nobody. You know, as long as you help people, you know, people say things like, you know, well, I help people if I can and I try not to. Well, that's fine. That's just good common sense. But that's not salvation. And a lot of times we have created, and part of what we were telling you last week, there are now ministries that have watered down true salvation just for the sake of keeping people in the church. You know, they don't put no pressure on them because they don't want them to leave. They want to have a big house and all of the people. They think numbers justify a good work of God. No, numbers don't justify nothing. Jesus shows us that. Jesus was never really concerned about numbers. He wanted the quality, not the quantity. So it goes back to the first thing I said, true Christian. What does a true Christian look like? Well, we're going to be going down this list for a long time, but there are just some things we need to understand. And so Paul says, one of the things we know about true Christians, they understand that it's not by human effort. You know, we say things in the church, they sound good, but they're not always the truth of the matter. You know, I'm trying to make 100, 99 and a half. I'm pressing on the upward way. New high. Okay, that's you. But are you really dependent on God? Are you really honest enough to admit that, as the old church said, if it had not been for the Lord And I said this to you several weeks ago. But listen to people when they testify. Listen to people when they talk, because we only talk confidently about what we are really confident about. And if most of our conversations are not about God or about the ministry or the movement or the vision or salvation, we are giving away ourselves. You can call somebody and talk to them on the phone for 2 hours about anything and everything, and then you can call them and say, listen, I got something I want to run by you concerning ministry, and it lasts 2 minutes. That might be a bad sign. As I said before, ask your neighbor every now and then, are you praying for the church? And when they say yes, say, well, tell me what you're praying. Then they're going to look at you and go, duh. Well, I'm just praying general prayers. No, we don't need no general prayers. We way past general prayers. Remember, I told you what, 2 years ago, be specific. When God says, ask and it shall be given, be specific. I told you, and some of y'all rolled your eyes when I said it, but minister, I'm sure you remember. I gave up on that anyway. You bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. I need to talk to God honestly. Because what? Listen, why would I be anyway, you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied, when he said I can be specific? He said, ask and it shall be given. Seek, that ain't anyway, you bless me. That's, Lord, I need, and I've carefully prepared my list. The other day, thank God for some of you, I got those prayer requests, and I started going over them. And I will tell you something. We are really not sure how to talk to God. Some of those cards were just, be specific. Put it, don't be afraid. I mean, I'm not going to expose you, but write it out. Say, Pastor, this is what I need you to pray to God for me about. I am in, you know, blah, 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 blah. Because some of them just said, pray for my mama. Well, what does mama need? I mean, come on, that's how we are. I said, Lord, Sister X said that she wanted me to pray for her mama. Don't know what her mama need, Lord, but whatever mama need. God don't want us to talk like that. Lord, we need you to kill these Canaanites so we can occupy the land of Canaan. Lord, they're more than we are, and we need you to make us either stronger or make them weaker. Lord, God ain't never got no problem with you being honest. And again, that's why I keep saying, y'all got to come to Wednesday prayer so we can learn how to pray together and talk to God, because your efforts are going to let you down. You got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. See, everybody goes by that little proverb letter. We like to say it, but we got to live it. So he said, listen, we're going to trust God, and God's going to make a difference, because true Christians are not going to lose their salvation. We have to understand that there is a steadfastness that's required of us. We can't do what the world do. We can't quit like they quit. We don't run like they run. If God be for us, he is more. Okay? When you say that God is, you're putting God out there. And I told you a long time ago, it's his reputation that's really on the line. You just are so blessed that you can use his name. Jesus told us that. Jesus said, I tell you what, I'm going to be leaving now. And you haven't had to do this before because I was with you. Isn't that wonderful? Am I the only one that would love to have lived in the time when Jesus was right there? We probably wouldn't have taken full advantage of it, because they didn't either. But he said, okay, I'm going now. He said, but I tell you what I'm going to do. To make sure that you don't lack for anything, you don't lose no power, you don't become concerned, you don't become wayward, this is what you do now. Ask in my name. You know what he says immediately? And it shall. He said, you'll get it. It'll be granted to you. How many of you remember growing up going to tell your sibling, mama said, and that did it? You remember going to say, well, you better go home. I ain't going to. You don't tell me what to do. But you ride back down on your bicycle and say, mama said, you better come home. You didn't have to say it in front of everybody. But that did it, didn't it? In mama's name. God help you if you say, daddy said, he need to see you right away. That means you know you are, you need to swing by the funeral home and pick out a good box before you go home. Any of y'all ever told your parents, you killing me? And they said, I know it. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 8 for a second. I'm just trying to help y'all because I love you. Okay. There is a need for us to really address in our mind and our spirit. Let me turn it around. In our spirit and in our minds. No, better do it the other way. In our mind and in our spirit. Because if you can't think it, you can't actuate it. So you have challenges that you need to face. And they're everyday challenges. They're challenges to the minister, the trustee, to wives and husbands and all that. You know, the deacons. You need to stop trying to fool yourself that you have reached this certain place with God, that there are no more challenges. You know, I don't do something. You know, people say stuff, I don't do that no more. But what do you do in lieu of what you used to do? Because all of us do something. Amen. If God went in your closet while you wasn't home, because you know when you're home, you make sure people don't go in your closet. When people come to your house, you say the bathroom is right there. And they shouldn't go, you know, if they go past it, you go, what you doing down there? I said, the bathroom, you know, you guard where people go. Well, what happens when you're not home? How many of you have ever left somebody at your house and when you came back, you knew they'd been snooping? You said, I know they've been, Lord, they've been in here. And you said, you don't want to confront them. You said, now what were they doing? What are they looking for? They just checking things out. So if God could get in your closet while you weren't home, what would he find? See, there are challenges. And every one of us are going to be challenged. So there had to be a steadfastness. There had to be something that keeps us from faltering. Remember what the father said? He said, Lord, he said, I believe, but help what I don't believe. Help me in the places that I'm not strong yet. Can I get you to be honest enough to admit that there are some areas that you're not quite strong enough yet? Can I get you to admit that you don't want people to know where you're not strong enough yet? So we do a lot of spiritual pretending. You know, we'll hang around folk who pray and we never pray. We'll hang around folk who worship, but we never. Come on. So he says, well, human effort is not working for us, Lord. So we need to depend on you. So are we in Romans 8 yet? Okay, thank you very much. Verse 5 said, those who are dominated by their sinful nature think about sinful things. Those who are controlled, that's the word we're looking for. We really want to be controlled by the Spirit. Those of you who have a driver's license know what it's like to be behind the wheel. Remember dreaming about driving? And then when you started driving, you realized there's a lot more to driving than what you thought. But when you're driving, how many of you don't like folk telling you how to drive? And we call them backseat drivers and stuff like that. You know, you're like, excuse me, you want to drive? And then you realize it's your whip, but you say, no, that's all right, I'll drive. Because you got the controls. And when you lose control, you're not the only one that suffers. Others suffer. Okay? And so he says, this is what's happening. If our minds are not controlled by God, if our nature is not yet converted to the spiritual nature, we've got a lot of challenges happening. And so he said that's what's going to happen. He didn't say just some people. He said those. That's everybody. Those who are dominated. You know what domination means, right? That you have no control. Remember when Jesus was talking to the centurion about authority? He says, you know, I can tell that you know what authority is like. You can tell folk to come and they come. You tell. That's control. And I pray none of you are living under that kind of spirit now where somebody dominates your life. But there are people who have some sense of authority over you. How many of you have ever been made to work late when you wanted to go home? Yeah. Supervisor come down the hall and said, I need to see you for a minute. And you say, all right. And they say, well, listen, we're going to have to stay late today. And you get that look. Your mind starts saying, is this the day to quit or kind of hang in there? You know. And so you say, okay, well, let me call my wife or call somebody. But you have to do it. If you're driving down the road, you know, it's a question that your mama's not in here right now. But there's a question used to be in the driver's manual that said, if you approach an intersection and the traffic light is green and a police officer summons you to stop, which do you obey? The answer is the police officer. you know, that's an authority that can do something. And the light, you can look at the light and say, oh, well, I'm going anyway. But if the light is green and the police officer says stop, you do well to stop. One of the things we learned when I was a state police officer is when you go to court, you have to say, I was in uniform displaying my badge of authority. It's the badge that gives me the power. It ain't me. It's the badge. Take the badge off and you just got a guy with a uniform. Amen. And so he said, those who are dominated, the devil wants to dominate. We know that about him. He has but a few purposes and none of them are good. To kill and to destroy, that's not in your favor. So he says, what? You got challenges. You're going to have to figure out a way to face the challenges. Here's what you're not going to do. You're not going to do it on your own. Human effort won't do it. How many of you have ever had to try and face a challenge and realize that you just didn't have the wherewithal to do it? Some of us know people who've tried to quit smoking for 100 years and they ain't been around but 90. We know people who've tried to stop drinking, drugs, misbehaviors, and they keep saying, man, I'm trying. And you look at them and say, well, man, I'm praying for you. And they say, I'm trying. You got to give that to God. You're not going to do it by yourself. And you want to do it. How many of you have met people who are genuinely sincere about life change, but they can't make it over that obstacle? Paul had that problem. And we're talking about Paul. You know Paul. Paul said, when I want to do the right thing, I find myself in this conflict. And then he got frustrated and said, oh, wretched man am I. Who shall deliver me? And then he gives us the answer. Christ Jesus. It's still the answer. Church, I don't care how long you've been in church, he's still the answer. Listen, here's a blessing. You remember this, write it down, do what you want to do. Get the CD. You have never been asked to do it by yourself. He has always been a very present help. He doesn't expect you to do it by yourself. Jesus is not going to take the training wheels off you. Y'all missed that. Good. When the training wheels come off, you're on your own. Yeah, you remember taking the training wheels off, Sister Walker? Woo, the first time you thought to yourself. You can make a whole lot of turns and maneuvers with the training wheels on. And falling is almost impossible with the training. Almost. I seem to manage to do it with the training wheels on. But when the training wheels come off, people expect you to do different. They don't put training wheels on 10 speeds. Because by the time you get there, they figure you should be able to do this. Amen. The bicycles with training wheels got them hard tires on them that don't go flat, you know, the pedals a rigid, you know, it ain't with one speed, you. Because you only go as fast as you can go. And so he said, listen, if you're dominated, you're going to have a problem. Watch this now. So in verse 12, he said, brothers and sisters, now here's the transformation statement. You have no obligation whatsoever. None. To do what your sinful nature urges you to do. And it's going to urge you. How many of you know that no matter how long you be in this thing, and no matter how long you stay in the Lord, pray, sing on the choir, preach the gospel, do all that stuff, you're going to still be urged by your sinful nature. Isn't it something? How many of you ever pray, Lord, just take that away? You know, he said, but you have no obligation to do those things. So part of what Paul tried to get them to understand is that the fight is in the spirit. Verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God. That's everybody. Don't just expect your leaders to be led and you don't follow along suit. Don't expect your pastor to be led and you don't want to be led. Don't expect your deacons to be led and you don't want to be led. You can't walk. You know, I've had it said to me. I don't know, Minister Dixon, if you've had this said to you as many times I've had it said to me. That's what pastor's supposed to do. That's how pastor's supposed to live. The pastor ain't supposed to drink. The pastor ain't supposed to cuss. The pastor ain't supposed to get mad. The pastor. Well, what are you supposed to do then? You know so much about how I'm supposed to live, then how are you supposed to live? If I'm supposed to be led and I'm the only one being led, how are you going to follow if I'm being led by the Spirit and you're not being led by the Spirit? We can't walk together. The Bible said, unless two agree, unless we are equally yoked, we can't walk together. Now, that might explain some things around here, but I don't want to get into it. He said, those who are led understand that. Those who, listen, your argument is not with human effort. You're wrestling against the wrong thing. You got to understand that powers and principalities still exist. Not just New York churches and Miami and major metropolitan cities. In Podunk towns, there are spiritual warfares engaged every day, not just Sunday. We don't just have a problem on Sunday. We got a problem 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, if we are not led by the Spirit. And here's the kicker. Even when led by the Spirit, Satan has the audacity to still show up. Read John 4, if you will. Been led by the Spirit into the wilderness. I don't think even now there are challenges that you're going to have to face. Sometimes God's got to put you in a test to promote you or to pass you over. I don't think every time you're going to pass. I wish I had some honest people. I thank God I've matured enough, Addison, that I can admit I don't pass every test. But I don't shy away from taking them. And I requested a retest. There have been times I told God, now, Lord, that wasn't fair. And you didn't have to send it like that. Amen. Y'all looking at me cross-eyed. I just told you. Everybody's got challenges. Okay, so he said those who are dominated are in trouble. They're going to lose. And there are houses now that are standing saying to people of God, well, you don't have to do that. And you don't have to. Yes, you do. Because all they're doing is setting you up for an apostasy's life. You're going to fall away. I am convinced of God that people love high standards. Even though they are difficult to attain to, they still like high standards. Amen. Anybody ever stayed at a really nice hotel and thought to yourself, man, this is shit. There's a commercial running now, TripAdvisor, I think runs a commercial. They said, you know, don't just go to New York, TripAdvisor New York. And they show a comparison, guy in New York, you know, he said, and he will never forget his wife drying off with the shower curtain, you know, ladies in the back. And then the other guy talking about his wife drying off in Egyptian cotton. Any of y'all ever been smoothed by Egyptian cotton? Lord have mercy. Let me sit down a minute. It is just different than a Motel 6 or a Super 8. I had to go preach somewhere recently and got there and they said, man, we got you set up. Everything going to be fine. And I get there and you know, I put the hotel in my phone and I'm driving. And when I came around the corner, I said, Jesus keep me near the cross. And I said to the clerk, I said, excuse me, please tell me you don't have a reservation. That's the first time I ever said that you don't have a reservation. And he said, we've been expecting you. I said, no, you haven't. I called the coordinator. I said, look, man, I don't mean no harm, but I passed the Hampton Inn, and I'll be there. But we have a contract with this place. I'll pay myself. But you got to understand something. It ain't about arrogance. It ain't about being conceited. I think I'm better. It's just the fact that I know now. I know now. And now that I know, you ain't going to be able to. You ain't even dumbing me down. No. No. And so what we're trying to accomplish in the body of Christ is that we understand high standards now. So we're not going to compromise because we know. How many of you have ever discovered that it's really only a few more dollars anyway? It's really on a little more effort anyway. There's not much difference between good and better. It's just a little more effort. What amazes me is companies have the audacity to put out products to say good, better, best. What are you saying about your company? Remember Coca-Cola some years ago when they tried to fool us and change the formula? And there was a, you know, there was a cry out of America like never heard out of Egypt. And Coca-Cola turned around quickly and said, oh, we're just playing. That's what it amounts to. In Atlanta, people drove to Atlanta, went to Coke headquarters and said, y'all done lost your mind. Coke said, okay. They recalled bad Coca-Cola with that new sugar. They said, oh, no, we're sorry. There's a standard. People say, this is what Coke posts. And in fact, if you older people know, the real Coca-Cola was Coca-Cola. Boom shakalaka. It had real coca leaf stuff in it. And somebody at the FDA said, don't it make you feel good? Y'all need to do something about that. And so they changed the formula. They did it slowly. See, one thing we have to realize is the standards of God are not compromised. Let's look at Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're in captivity. These boys are prisoners of war. And Daniel says, chief dietitian, if you will just let us eat like we know we're supposed to eat, this captivity thing, ain't nothing we can do about that. But we can do something about how we honor God. And the dietitian said, no, because if y'all start looking bad, they're going to get me. He said, well, I tell you what, give me 10 days. We don't look no better than they do, then we'll eat your food. Look at Daniel and said, man, look here, I want to eat what y'all eat. They wasn't going to compromise. And every time Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had an opportunity to stand on the promises of God's standard, they won. You ain't got to compromise. You have a light in Christ Jesus. That is your best life. You got to stop taking the easy way out because it doesn't require so much of you. Amen. I know y'all thinking now. It took something to get here today. It's going to take something to do it Thursday and Wednesday. But it's going to take even more to do it Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. And there is no day off. Because if you give the devil a little way in, well, they say a little yeast can leaven the whole loaf. Those of you who cook know that. You don't know nothing about cooking. Anybody ever made the mistake and left the yeast out? Or forgot the self-rising flour and used plain flour? And kept saying, now why my bread ain't coming up? And then you looked over on the counter and went, that's plain flour. You dashed all that. That's gone. And you don't want nobody to see it. How many of y'all ever throwed away something because you didn't want nobody to see it because you didn't want your name on it? Because that's not your best work. Amen. I've said this to you before. Don't let your funeral be the only time somebody say, you sure look like yourself. You're missing my point, but I'm going to make it for you. You should be looking like Christ. They ought to look at you and say, you sure representing the kingdom good. People standing there looking at you, boy, she dressed him up real nice. Well, Father in the name. That's all we know now. No, you cannot be dominated. You've got to fight the good fight of your faith. And if your faith is not sufficient, where's your fight based at? It's the word of God. That's your faith. I trust God. So he said, well, we can't let that happen. And watch this. Are you still with me? Come down to verse 32. Here it is. He said, since God did not spare even his own son, but gave him up. Why? There's a challenge. You can't listen. Let me help you. Let me bless you. Bless you real good. Ain't no need you getting mad at God when challenges come. He gave up his son. That's right, minister. He died. You ain't dead. Look at the name and say, you ain't dead. You struggling. I know you got bills. You got can't find a job. Can't find the right this. There's stuff happening all the time to everybody. But you ain't dead. And because the enemy has got your cell phone number, your email address, a key to your house, fight. Speak when you come in. I see you still here, huh? I tried to block your call, but you done changed your number. Hey, how you doing? He gave up his son. Listen to what he said. He said, listen, since God, you know, since means, all right, we might as well get on board now. I know you want to be wonderful Christians. You should want to be. But you got to live. You can't just, this ain't no one-stop shop. You saved, now you don't sit here the rest of your day. Why sit here till you die with your saved self? You got all of these gift possibilities. You know, y'all ain't been shouting like I thought you would. Y'all ain't been liberated like I thought you was going to be liberated from my greatness sermons, but I'm going to keep trying you. Because I'm trying to tell you something. You are cheating yourself and then mad at God because you getting it wrong. God ain't doing you wrong. You getting it wrong. You're not reading the text. You are not meant to be the bottom under any circumstance. Bottom life is a chosen life. Just like greatness is a choice. You can't be hating on folk who treat themselves to greatness. Here she go, always trying to be out front. Yes, sir. Every time I turn around, she trying to be impressive. Yes, sir. You are not less than anybody. No, sir. And God gave up his son so you would know that. He said, listen, I have prepared a place for you. Now, I told you before, it doesn't mean you got to die to get your pie in the sky. But it takes a steadfastness to elevate to those places that you've been called to. Remember David and Mephibosheth? He said, there's got to be somebody left to get this blessing. Got to be. He said, well, you know, there's a little crippled boy. He said, go get him. And he said, now from here on, he comes in, he said, I'm just a dog. He said, listen, from now on, you'll be sitting with me. You ain't got to be the king to sit at his table. You just got to know him. you don't have to buy steaks to eat steaks. You just got to know somebody who got them. A friend of mine bought a Maserati. And I met a Maserati. hey. He said, man, Mike, I got me a mom. I said, you got what? He said, yeah, man. I said, I'm on the way. Got down there, got out of my little ugly Mercedes and said, let's ride. He said, you want to drive? Yes, sir. He said, go ahead. And we riding on. You know, when you first drive somebody's car, you got to be nice. He said, man, let's go on the interstate. I'm thinking myself, mm-hmm. We get on the interstate, we ride along, speed limit 70, you know, we doing 80, you know, they give you 10. And we ride, he said, Mike, I ain't trying to get you in no trouble. He said, but man, I've been waiting on you to come down here and drive this car. I said, why is that? He said, because if anybody going to make it do what it do, it's going to be you. He said, you ain't scared of the man. I said, son, make sure your seatbelt fastened. This flight is about to take off. And, man, traffic got, we had to keep slowing. But as soon as we got free of the traffic, folks to the flow. And listen, that thing, That was cool. But anyway, my point is, you know, I don't have to buy the car. And he told me, he said, man, anytime you're home, you want it, come get it. So when I go home, sometimes I go by and get the Maserati. Got another friend of mine, got a Bentley. He said, Mike, I want you to drive the Bentley. I said, all right. He said, but Mike, don't dog the Bentley. You drive everything like it's a race car. This is a Bentley. I said, mm-hmm. But can we at least see if it'll do it one time? And we did. He said, man, I ain't never had my car past 80. I said, well, you way past it now. But I mean, you know, I don't have to buy one. And you know what? If you treat it right and you keep relationships good, what they have, you can have. He said, well, you know, the key always hanging up in the garage. I got the code to their garage. Saved into my phone. See what I'm saying? Send that little crippled boy up here. Because as long as I'm king, he's going to have it made. And then, not only is it wild, when I die, I will make a provision that he always be treated that way. And that's what God's done for you. See, you fooling yourself with this human effort. And living in it. You are greatness. You are, as John declares, the sons and daughters of God. Would you deny your children anything within your means? How about you? You? No, nobody would do it. No, even though we talk trash to our kids, don't ask me for nothing else. They'll be back next week. And you start all over again. So he said, if earthly parents think like that, how much more would your Father, who is in heaven, you know, that is the World Bank. That's the real World Bank. You know, heaven, treasures, unlimited riches. Paul told us it was the World Bank, and my God shall supply all. And what Paul said was not just for Paul, but look how many people were standing in the line that day, and God ain't never said, we're running out. Hurry, hurry. No, no, no. But you have to have the spirit life undertaken, understood. And if you don't do that, you mess up. So here's the step. Let's go to 2 Peter very quickly. How much time I got? Man, time's good. 2 Peter. Every time I say that, the next time I look at this clock, it'll be 3:30. 2 Peter. Chapter 1. Amen. Y'all good. Y'all getting there. Most of us fail to realize the deficiencies that exist within our brain until it's too late. And what I mean by that is you forget stuff at the most inopportune time. And then you go, oh, come on, come on, come on. You know, you learn a lot. You know, Raven, is how much more nursing school you got to do? One more year. And you've learned a whole lot in the, 3 years previous? How many years the whole course? And how many years of that? Okay. Do you remember all that stuff? See? Yeah. So here's what I'm going to tell you. If I ever walk in the hospital and see you, I'm going to ask for somebody else because you don't know. You be sitting there going, blood pressure. Okay, is it? Oh, no. But you can't, none of us can. No, I mean, you don't remember all the electronic gizmo stuff. But, you know, if you did it every day, though, when you were there, it was like old hat, as they say. So watch this. Verse 12 says, I plan to keep on reminding you. I plan to keep on reminding you of these things, even though you already know them. Yeah, you know them now because it's fresh today. He said, but you're even standing firm in the truth. You, right now you're doing hunky-dory, but in another 2 years or another week or two, or when another stress level comes, another challenge comes, you need to remember steadfastness. Don't run. having done all to stand, girding up. See, many of us run when we ought to stand. And then sometimes we stand when we should have ran. Sometimes it's hard to figure out which one to do. But that's why you let the counselor tell you. The Lord said, I'll tell you to go to a city and I say, flee, you better flee. Don't be disobedient because you don't feel comfortable in the thing. And don't fight where you ain't got to fight at. He said, I got to keep reminding you. Which again talks to the consistency of training. We have to keep reminding you. He said, listen, even though right now you're standing firm in the truth. He gives them credit. He said, you're doing all right. Some of y'all don't miss nothing. You don't miss academy. You don't miss Christian academy. You don't miss Bible. And you're writing your notes and you're turning on your smartphones and tablets. He said, and that's good, but we still going to keep having study. We're going to still keep calling for the assembling of the saints. And some of you are going to say, well, we went over that verse before. Yes, we have. We use them all kinds of ways. Sometime I'll be standing close out here. Minister Wanda nudge me. He used that one already. I said, yes, I did. But the reality for us is you got to keep learning. So you can keep. You didn't stop living, did you? Steadfastness does not come in one swoop. I done been to Bible study since I was a child. Let's go over the math. Let's go over the history. Let's go over the English language. You don't remember everything. My mother used to say that to me quite often. How many times did I tell you? I really want to say often. But I kept my peace. I said, I don't know. She said, well, I just told you that. And you say, okay. Because you can't tell her she didn't. Even if she didn't and she thinks she did, you have to let her think she did. You sometimes, how many of y'all have been had your parents say, I told you, and you know they didn't. You want to tell, no, you didn't. But you say, okay, because I got to live here another 2 years. But as soon as I get my own rent, I'm going to remind you of some of these things you said you didn't say. You know. And so he said, I got to remind you. Now watch this. He said, yes, verse 13. He said, yeah, I believe I should keep on reminding you of these things as long as I live. What? Yeah, but watch this. He said, but the Lord has shown me that my days on earth are numbered. I know I'm going to die. That's what he said. He said, I'm going to die. He says, watch this. He says, so I will work hard to make these things clear to you because I want you to remember when I'm gone. That way you can say, you know, when Reverend Mitchell was alive, he told us. And I wrote it down. I got an old yellow piece of paper that doesn't fade it. Or it's in an old smartphone, a tablet, and I didn't update it. But I remember him telling us that we had to be steadfast. I remember him telling us we're going to be challenged. I remember him saying that there was an effort to dominate me, but I'm not going to be dominated. I remember. I can't remember what Sunday that was, but I know he stood there and said there were challenges. And he used the illustration about high standards. But I'm telling you this, I come too far to be weak now. And I'm not falling away. When some Johnny come lately preacher come hopping in town with new fancy suits and a new building, running over there behind that stuff, I got good solid this. I don't need weak that. Because popularity don't save nobody. Amen. He said, I'm going to keep doing it. He said, I know I ain't going to be here forever. That's why we got to work while we have the light of day. Because night's coming. And none of us ain't going to be no good. We're going to all be holding on then. We're going to be getting in on broken pieces. Ain't no time then to be talking about luxury accommodations. We just going to be holding on. But we won't drown. Paul told him, said, listen, don't jump. Whatever y'all do. He said, I know it's bad, it looks bad, but I promise you, if you trust me in this storm, you know, it's hard to trust in a storm. He said, oh yeah, it's going to get rough, but none of you will perish if you trust me. You got to remember, this is the same guy that just said, it's obviously something wrong with you. You done cursed this whole voyage. And now he's standing there saying, don't jump. Y'all stay with me. And they made it, the Bible said, on broken pieces, and nobody was lost. Sometimes you may not have adequate faith in God, but you can trust somebody who does. Sometimes your faith ain't there yet, but trust somebody who does. Say, whatever he's doing, I'm going to do that too, because look like to me, he knows something. Had I been on that boat when Peter got in the water, he wouldn't have been by himself. Because I'm thinking, if he can do it, I sure can. Because, you know, I'm a daredevil like that. Peter would look around and say, who called you? Oh, are you going? I would have said, he's no respecter of person. If he called you, I thought he said Leroy. No, he said, you got to trust faith, okay? It's a confidence to it, all right? Watch this now. Go back. Chapter 1. Verse 8, the more you grow like this, the more you will become productive and useful. See, these are church verses now. Why are we so useless and unproductive? Because we're not growing like this. We're growing by chandeliers and stained glass windows and big parking lots and cathedral buildings. We want to go to places that look like this. But we're not going to grow. People who sit in churches for beautification purposes are never going to be dutiful to God. And pastors will tell you that a whole lot of folks sitting up in these grand houses don't give nothing, don't do nothing, don't care about nothing. All they want to be seen in church. Oh, you go over there. Yeah, child. You saw our parking lot. We adding on. We. Who is we? He said, no, the more you do this life word thing, you're going to be productive. How do you know that we can be productive? Nothing is impossible to them who believe. You cannot live by what you don't believe. And if what you believe don't sustain and strengthen and structure your life, you're living in vain. If you really know word, you should live word. And your word should make you productive. You shall know the tree by the fruit. If ain't no fruit, cut it down. Or cry to the Lord of the harvest and just give it some more time. God ain't cutting down babes. God cutting down old tree beards. Big old tree with nothing. I was standing in my yard the other day. I said, ooh, I'm going to sharpen my sword again. That's some more dead trees out there. I like cutting down dead trees. I don't know what it is, Jennifer. It's just maybe the sawdust blowing on my pant leg or something. I just look at it and go, ooh, let me see. I can get that one now. I'm going to try it. I know I ain't got no business trying it, but I just can't help myself. It's dead. I'm thinking to myself, why have this tree in my yard? It ain't doing nothing. And I stand there and go, all right, I have to wait till Miss Mitchell ain't home, because she'd be like, what are you doing? You're going to get hurt. You're going to die. I said, you'll be rich.
But don't do it. Wait, get some help.
What is Adrian going to do but run? Need him. He might get in my way. He may choose to run the same way I run, trip me up in the tree, fall on me. I can make a clean escape when ain't nobody in my way. So I cut them down. They're no good. I don't need no eye candy trees. Oh, them some nice trees. What do they do? Oh, they just trees. And you can't eat off of them. Cut them down. Because it ain't no loss to anybody if it wasn't fruitful. Okay. So he said, listen, the more you do this, the more, listen, you can never spend too much time with God. We stay too long. We go too much. He won't too much. He enough to come. How can you have too much time with God? How many of you have ever been with someone and didn't want to lose their company? Well, how can you feel that way about a person and not feel that way about God? Come on, how many of you have ever said, don't leave, y'all just got here. Been with y'all a week, and they said, well, we got to go now. Oh, I'm just getting used to y'all. Don't go yet. Can you call in for two more days maybe? But you don't want to be with God like that? I do. I've come to learn and am living that the presence of God is liberty. I feel free around God. I'm pretty comfortable with him now. So he said, well, the more you do it, the better off you're going to be. Amen? That's it. Come on down if chapter 3. Anybody there? Almost there? You was empty. Verse 8. Dear friends, we're waiting for these things to happen. He talks about new heaven, new earth, the promises of God, revelation to come. Make sure that you keep your efforts. Make sure you keep your efforts. In other words, he says, steadfast. Keep pressing on the upward way. Don't ever get to the comfort where you say, well, I'm there now. You ain't never going to be complete. Deacons, trustees, leaders, hell. If we did pack it out every Sunday, we still got work to do. But McKenzie, if we do get to our moment where our budget numbers start looking like we've been praying, we still got work to do. And people in the body of Christ need to recognize that the devil likes idolatry. Quietness, idleness, rather. You know, we just the people chilling out. And the devil going to come in and start all kinds of stuff. How many of you have discovered that the busier you are, the better time goes by? You know, no room for foolishness. We chop, 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 chop. I used to tell my soldiers that. We used to get up in the morning. You know, we start early in the morning. They had that little commercial came out, Brother Thomas. You remember, it was a Navy commercial. You know, we do more by 9. And most man, the army was beating that all day long. But I used to tell my soldiers, listen, you stay busy. Before you know it, I have to remind you to go to lunch. Get back from the motor pool. Get down in the motor hole. Let's go to work. And I tell you, hey, it's time to go home. Already, Sarge? See, you looking over there, what 3rd platoon doing? 3rd platoon, sorry. It's a bunch of scrubs. Everybody go to 3rd platoon. Don't want to do nothing. You in 2nd platoon. We run this camp around here. We should really be 1st platoon, but they designated us 2nd, but we better than they are too. And we work. Boom, 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 boom. And then guys, you get envious of us. Man, y'all make us look bad. We painted trucks that didn't need to be painted. You know, we changed tires that didn't need to be changed. But we were ready. It was called readiness. And sometimes when you're the ready platoon, you wind up working more than the guy that ain't ready. But I told them that's what we're here for. We're here to burn diesel fuel. We're not here to just look at trucks. This ain't no beautification area. We work. They said, sorry, they're always picking on us, though, because we're always ready. Good. You'll stay out of trouble. See, that's why they don't catch y'all at the donut shop after 9 o'clock. Sergeant Major used to go up to the donut hut on post right there at the Dunkin' Donuts at 9 o'clock and take names. Come here, soldier. If you were in the E5 or above, the sergeant major sit there. And he said, who's your squad leader? Because soldiers would leave formation, you know, 845 formation, and go to the donut shop. And there'd be a line at Dunkin' Donuts of soldiers who should have been in the motor pool. He caught one of mine. No. When I say fall out, in 5 minutes, we're going to say fall in at the motor pool. I saw the other platoon, they go get donuts. We don't eat donuts. That fat pills. You don't need no fat pills. We just ran 6 miles this morning, and now you want to eat 3 donuts? That's counterproductive to what we're trying to be as soldiers. And I heard, so what one donut going to do? Ask the boy who ate the one donut. We ready. So we keep every effort. And we were top dog. And so I like being, and then when it was time to chill out, First Sergeant said, well, I tell you what, Big M, go ahead and give your boys some downtime. Y'all been running hard. Then all the other two were standing there going, that ain't right. Hey, remember? When we could have goofed off, we made every effort. All our tire pressures was 55. All our bumpers was lined up. All our equipment was in our trucks. All our locks were locked in the afternoon. The sergeant, the duty sergeant didn't go down there and write down our bumper numbers because we double-checked and double-checked. All our canvases were tight. Our canvases didn't go down the road flapping in the wind. No, no. Because we set a standard. And yet it required more effort. We worked like Hebrew slaves. But we used to say we're going to work hard and we're going to play hard. Because every now and then I'd call them down to the shade tree and say, boys, got a little something for y'all. They said, come on, Sarge. I said, oh, yeah, hooked y'all up. Free shade. They look at me like, come on, Sarge. Hey. Take a lot of effort to get this tree to grow for y'all. Now, y'all just enjoy it for a little while. I'll be back. They thought I was crazy. I said, no, it's free shade. Because the sun out there. Y'all come on over here. Just chill out. And they thought, you know, they start liking stuff like that. Free shade, huh? So, yeah, free shade. I told them I had the Lord put this tree here just for y'all. Somewhat stretched, but nevertheless, got what I wanted across. All right, almost there. Let's go over to, let me see where I need to go. 1 Peter. 1 Peter now. We're in 2 Peter. We're going to 1 Peter. I turned too early. 1 Peter. Sorry. Almost back where y'all is. 1 Peter. Are y'all there? Chapter 1, please. Everybody there? Verse 4 says, for God has reserved a priceless inheritance for his children. Wow, you got something coming. Tell your neighbor, you got something coming. It's priceless. It's an inheritance for the children. It is reserved in heaven. It's set there for you. You know what that means? God expects you to get to heaven to get your inheritance. He expects you to make it. Why? Because you've done what's required of God. The Holy Spirit has led and guided you into all truth, and you have qualified. It is reserved for the children. It is undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay, and God in his mighty power will protect you until you receive that bonus salvation. Why? Because you trust him. Watch this now. Because you trust him. Okay, the amen should have came right there. Because you trust him. It didn't say you trust in man or human efforts. It says you trust God. You trust God. You have validated your trust. It's in the Lord. You can't walk around here like the old saint talking about, I will trust in the Lord, and don't. You don't need to sing it then. You need to stand there and say, I'm not ready for that one yet. Because only truth makes you free, even in a song. Even in a song. You need to either have some applicable knowledge of what you're singing, or just let it be sung to you. I said, boy, I sure want to be like somebody I can sing that song right there. He said, you know what? It is because you trust God. Don't listen, I've told you before, I didn't save you. I'm glad you got saved. But don't blame me when you're stumbling and staggering in your walk with the Lord, because you need to be trusting God. Respect the man of God and the servants of God. But your trust belongs to God. Yeah. He said, and because you've done that, you got something coming. Kept for you. Undefiled. Ain't nobody going to mess it up. God knows what he's doing. Amen? Yeah, he sure does. All right. Come over to chapter 2. Almost there. We're going to stay on time today best we can. Everybody there? Almost. Almost. They say almost. They're there. Oh, they're there. Well, oh, never mind. 1 Peter chapter 2. Come over here and listen at what he's saying in verse 8. The scriptures say, he is a stone that makes people stumble, the rock that will make them fall. They stumble because they do not listen to God's word or obey it. And so they meet the fate that has been planned for them. That's destruction. Because they wouldn't listen to God. Listen, the only reason you're stumbling is right here in the verse. Now, if you're not stumbling, that means you're doing what you ought to be doing. He said, but the reason they're stumbling is because they won't listen and they won't obey. I'm telling you now, it is not the design of this pastor to humiliate or embarrass you, but I ain't going to feel sorry for you when you're stumbling and I know you're not listening and obeying the word of God. And you can go around and badmouth me and the ministers and the deacons all you want. He don't come by to see people here. You stumbling because you're in disobedience, you hard-headed, and then you want us to come and sit by your bedside and hold your hand in disobedience and hard-headed. That's not going to happen. No. The Bible says, be separate and come out from among them. Don't be unequally yoked, because if you can't walk together and agree, I think the vision of the church says we should agree. The ministries of our church says we should agree. The things that we're, you, so now you don't agree with us, but you want to pimp us out when you need something. We're not going to fall for it. I'm not going to stumble with you. I've been trying to hold you up by training you and encouraging you and building, and you rebuke everything I say, and when I try to lead, you rebuke my leadership. And you rebuke our vision, you rebuke our ministries, you rebuke, and then when you want us, we got to do it your way. No, we're not going to do it your way. We're going to do it God's way. And God's way requires attention to detail, obedience, compliance, commitment, consistency. And that's all we ever ask. We don't ask nobody to do nothing that ain't in the Word. It's in the book. We keep the book open. I don't know who he think he is. The real question is, who do you think you are? Because I'm here. We doing it. We party like rock stars on Sunday. Because we got it like this. We ain't asking nobody to do nothing. He said the reason they're stumbling is because they will not listen. How can they hear without the preacher? That's the word of God. And how beautiful are the feet of them who bring that good news, glad tidings. Beautiful feet, I say. Mr. Bojangles didn't have it so good. You can't argue with truth and win. Amen. As Abe Lincoln said, any fool can criticize, and fools often do. He ain't got to do it. Hey, the church would have been better off if we'd have. No, it wouldn't. No. One thing I've learned about God and can testify to it, he's a progressive God. God does not want us living on 1960. When Reverend so-and-so was here, we were. Well, when he was there, that was your time then. God ain't like that. Somebody going to take my place. No time soon, I pray. But don't listen when you, those of you who are young and choose, don't make that man's job hard, or woman, whoever y'all decide. Don't Reverend Mitchell was, no, say, you know, Pastor Mitchell helped us, but you helping us even more. I'm not trying to make this my church. I don't want no church. That means I stole something that belonged to God. This God's house. This ain't my house. I'm a tenant representative. My job is management, this level, not that level. No, I trust God for my stuff. I, you know, this, hey, Lord, thank you. That's all I need right now. And could you kill three more? No, I'm sorry. No, God said, no. He said, they stumble because they will. He said, listen, They are meeting the fate that is when it happens. It's because God told them it was going to happen. There is a way that seemeth right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you better mind the company you keep, because only iron can sharpen iron. Yeah. And it'll make all of us better. All right, we'll pause there. Did I help you a little bit? We'll come back next week, Lord, and get a little deeper. Y'all mind going a little deeper? Let me mark my paper, because y'all might try to fool me and say we wasn't talking about that. Can y'all believe it's August already? Isn't that amazing? What happened to July? Did it quit or go on vacation? Amen. Let's pray. Merciful God, our loving Father, thank you so very much for these who have attended to your word. Pray, God, that these words will certainly, Lord, strengthen them and give them what they need to run and see what the end shall be. Thank you, Lord, for these who are going to go out and tell others what they missed today, to encourage them and to draw them in, that they might not be warmed at a distance but come near the flame. Thank you, Lord, for these who thought it not robbery to even yield themselves in honesty and say, Lord, today I've learned a lesson that needs to be changed. I've got work to do. Thank you, Lord, for letting us live long enough to hear another truth so that we can put it in our little ditty bag and run on a little further. God, we bless you for life change through the word. And pray, God, that you'll keep our church strong together. Keep our pastors strong to bring the word, and our ministers and our deacons. Keep us strong, God, so that the hour that we are challenged will be fit to fight. We bless your name, Father. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do pray. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, 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 and amen. All right, God bless you. Let me see here.